This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The U.S. Justice Department sues Apple, alleging it exploits monopoly power. And federal regulators say large grocery chains use their size and scale to edge out smaller rivals during the pandemic.
This report really falls in line with a lot of what we already know as consumers. You know, grocery prices have been high and stayed high.
Plus, Reddit stock jumps in its market debut. It's Thursday, March 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The U.S. Justice Department, 15 states, and the District of Columbia have sued Apple, alleging the tech giant exploits an illegal monopoly. The suit claims Apple prevented software developers and mobile gaming companies from offering better options on the iPhone, leveraging its dominance to block software and limit the functionality of competing devices, resulting in higher prices for consumers. Apple says it plans to vigorously defend against the lawsuit. With today's filing, U.S. officials have now sued all four of the tech giants they've been focused on. Wall Street Journal technology editor Brad Olson has more.
Apple has also faced a lot of regulatory scrutiny over the App Store. This is very distinct from that. It's actually about how Apple interacts with outside parties that want access to its users. Also, the other cases that the different regulators have brought against the other tech companies are sort of all based on different aspects of what those companies do. In the Google case, one of the big sticking points is how Google deals with ad software. And then another aspect of the case is a deal that it has with Apple to be the default search provider on the Safari browser. In the case with Meta Platforms, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, the Federal Trade Commission has scrutinized Meta's acquisition of WhatsApp and Instagram and said that there were anti-competitive aspects of that. With Amazon, it has to do with the third-party marketplace and how Amazon interacts with its sellers. And so with all these four giant technology companies, it's an effort by the Biden administration to really rein in the power of big tech.
Shares of Reddit soared more than 48% in its stock market debut, which we previewed this morning. It's a vote of confidence in the social media company whose users fueled the meme stock craze, and it gives the company a valuation of around $9.5 billion. In the broader market, all three major U.S. indexes finished higher, notching new record closes. Investors are optimistic a surge in borrowing costs is coming to an end soon. The Dow led the way, inching closer to the 40,000 mark. The CEOs of major airlines are requesting a meeting with Boeing's directors. As we've been reporting, frustrations with the plane maker have been growing after the January blowout on a 737 MAX and production problems that have roiled the industry. We report exclusively that major carriers want to express their concerns to Boeing. Here now with more on this scoop is Wall Street Journal aviation reporter Andrew Tangle. Andrew, what do the CEOs hope to accomplish at this meeting?
The CEOs want a plan. They've been frustrated not only by the Alaska Airlines incident, but also the fallout, mounting delays, production issues, scrutiny by various government agencies. Alaska Airlines itself was the butt of a joke on Saturday Night Live, raising questions in the minds of passengers about the safety of the aircraft that the airlines fly. And so the airline CEOs want some assurances that the board of directors at Boeing has a plan for the recovery of the company, because they, like the rest of the United States, need Boeing to succeed.
So how is Boeing responding to this request so far, and what are the next steps?
Boeing has responded to the initial request to meet with the board of directors with an offer to send board members to meet the airline CEOs. The board members may include Chairman Larry Kellner, who used to run Continental Airlines, which has since become part of United. So he can understand what it's like to run a carrier and can speak the same language. And those meetings will apparently take place in the coming weeks, and it'll be interesting to see what the outcome is.
That's Wall Street Journal aviation reporter Andrew Tangle. Coming up, federal regulators say large grocery chains edged out smaller rivals during the pandemic. More on a new report out today after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Do you remember empty store shelves at your local grocery store during the height of the pandemic, or jockeying to schedule a delivery of food and household goods? In a new report out today, the Federal Trade Commission faults big grocers for pandemic tactics, accusing them of using their size and scale to get an edge over smaller competitors as stores struggled with shortages and distribution bottlenecks. FTC Chair Lina Khan said, quote, "Dominant firms used this moment to come out ahead at the expense of their competitors and the communities they serve." Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal logistics and supply chain reporter Liz Young. Welcome, Liz.
Thanks so much, Anne-Marie. Thanks for having me.
So, Liz, what exactly does the FTC allege these large grocers did? Weren't all chains to some extent struggling with supply chain issues during the pandemic?
That's definitely right, Anne-Marie. So chains of all sizes had these problems. They couldn't get toilet paper. Later on, they couldn't get other materials. The FTC in this report specifically looked at the effect that large grocery retailers had on the broader market and found that they were able to do things like put stricter delivery requirements into place for their suppliers. So requiring them to meet a certain higher percentage of on-time or in-full shipments, which were things that if the vendors didn't comply, they could get hit with a fine. Of course, to avoid the fine, many vendors then went in and delivered goods to those larger retailers before some of their smaller rivals. So these tactics, the FTC says, were a way for larger retailers to kind of use that size, use that role in supply chains to keep their shelves stocked, even as their smaller competitors had a much harder time.
So to be clear, the FTC is not blaming these larger grocers for all the bottlenecks that we saw during the pandemic, just that they were able to sort of edge their power with their scale and size.
That's exactly right. The FTC was talking about how broadly there were all of these supply chain disruptions. Larger retailers were just able to use their size and their scale to secure supply for their shelves, to keep their shelves stocked, even as smaller retailers were facing greater difficulties doing so.
So are there any consequences as a result of this report? What are the companies going to be on the hook for potentially?
So the FTC report does not actually allege any wrongdoing. The next step will, I'm sure, certainly be for lawmakers to take a look at this, for committees to take a look at this. The FTC also looked at grocery pricing and found that revenue growth at large retailers had outpaced the cost increases that they faced. So that was something that the FTC said warranted further inquiry by both the FTC and policymakers.
Liz, I wonder how this report's being received generally as we see consumers still facing higher food costs as one of those sticky areas of inflation that seems to persist as other prices are starting to come down.
Absolutely. This report really falls in line with a lot of what we already know as consumers. You know, grocery prices have been high and stayed high. I think it also comes at a time when President Biden in his State of the Union speech was criticizing this practice of shrinkflation. You know, you think of a bag of chips, it's the same price, but there's less chips in the bag. And we've also seen the FTC try to crack down on what they've called anti-competitive behavior that could be putting pressure on pricing upward, you know, blocking the bid by Kroger to buy its rival Albertsons, for example.
That's Wall Street Journal logistics and supply chain reporter Liz Young. Speaking of grocery stores, coming up this weekend, we're answering your questions about food price inflation, from what causes it to how consumers and companies are coping. That's on What's News Sunday, available right here in the What's News feed. And we're looking for your input on an upcoming episode focusing on unionization in sports, most recently at Dartmouth. We'd like to know what questions you have about what that means for colleges, athletes, and sports in general. Send us a note, or even better, record a voice memo on your phone and send it to wnpod@wsj.com. That's wnpod@wsj.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 212-416-4327. Just be sure to include your name and location because we might use it on the show. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and questions. U.S. home sales rose in February from the month before, marking the first time in more than 2 years that sales increased 2 months in a row. Existing home sales surged 9.5% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 4.38 million. The data from the National Association of Realtors defied expectations. Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal had estimated sales of previously owned homes would fall more than a percent. Last year, home sales fell to their lowest levels in nearly 30 years. We report exclusively that certain Medicare members could get help paying for the weight loss drug Wegovy. That's as long as they have a history of heart disease and are using it to prevent recurring heart attacks and strokes. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services say Medicare Part D drug benefit plans, which are administered by private insurers, may cover anti-obesity medications if they receive approval for an additional use that's considered medically accepted under federal law. The new guidance cracks open Medicare reimbursement of the popular drugs, possibly paving the way for thousands of new people to get prescriptions. It could also add to pressure on commercial health plans to cover them. And finally, earlier this year, two scientists flagged dozens of research papers containing copied or doctored images. Some of them were connected to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and Harvard Medical School. As a result, papers were retracted or corrected, sending shockwaves through the scientific community. Those errors were flagged with the help of a software tool that can find problematic visuals much more quickly than people using just their eyes. For example, common types of images examined include photographs of tissue slices and cells. Researchers say no two tissue samples taken from different animals should ever look the same under a microscope. When they do, that's a red flag. Science reporter Niti Subbaraman says one of the next challenges is identifying material created by artificial intelligence.
People are already worried that generative AI, or, you know, just sophisticated algorithms are ginning up whole chunks of text and being stuck into papers. And they're worried that images could be fabricated in that way from whole cloth. Like what looks like a close-up image of brain tissue might have been, you know, just cooked up by a computer. And how would you know? And that's the thing that these software tools are trying to figure out how to get a grip on. Are there any telltale signs that this wasn't created in the lab, but was actually just wholly manufactured?
The technology still isn't perfect. A research integrity director at Springer Nature, which publishes about 3,000 journals, including Nature, says the company still evaluates every red flag individually. And a final note. An earlier version of this episode incorrectly said 17 states were involved in the DOJ suit against Apple. In fact, 15 states and the District of Columbia joined the suit. Also, some players at Dartmouth College voted to unionize this month. An earlier version of this podcast incorrectly referred to it as Dartmouth University. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé with supervising producer Michael Kosmides. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning.